Gin Palace, written and read by Tracy Whitwell. Prologue. Enough already. I am not getting out of bed. I've tried very hard for months on end to be a normal human being and it doesn't work, so I'm staying here until someone evicts me. My mobile phone's been buzzing under the pillow, on and off, since 11 a.m. It's now 3 o'clock in the afternoon and I've had a really big bag of jelly babies and 2 large glasses of Merlot in those 4 hours. I try not to be drunk before 6 o'clock in the evening, otherwise I'd have drunk the bottle by now. I must have some standards. After several days of hiding, I suspect my bed smells, but I'm now immune to my own stink. Inca has alternately been under the covers with me, giving me feline love, or, as she is now, yowling at the end of the duvet, digging her claws into my feet, demanding her latest feed. She looks like a sexy panther when she's angry, and it makes me feel sad, wondering whether she'll like it when we have to move into a cardboard box under Waterloo Bridge. As I'm pouring my 3rd glass of red, tactically moving my feet 6 inches up, back and forward again to avoid those demanding claws, I begin to deliberate on who the missed calls could be from, just for fun. I know it's not Pat, because he left to travel the world more than 6 months ago, and after a couple of painful phone calls where he described his new friends on Koh Samui, far too many young, nubile females for my liking, the cocktails they'd been necking together and the parties they were about to go to, I called a halt. I told him to send the odd postcard instead and to call me for a coffee when he's back in London. He took it much better than he should have done, and I've not heard from him since, apart from 1 dog-eared card from Chiang Mai with a picture of a sad-looking street elephant on it. I wonder if he realised that painted, trapped, miserable animal would ring so many bells in my life right now. Realistically, it could be me mam calling, as I've not been in touch for a week, but I don't want to speak to her at the mo. She'll ask how my job is going, the one I was forced to take, teaching drama to endlessly disinterested teenagers in a local school populated by hooligans, the one I only started 8 weeks ago, and I don't want to tell her the truth. The thing is, not one of those little shits could bear to lose face in front of their mates, so getting them to do a scene together was nigh on impossible. The girls would go all hard-nosed and pouty, and the boys would drop their voices to mouse level. They would all perform in a monotone. And the final straw came a few days ago when a boy called Goulden was talking on his phone during class and I grabbed it off him and I dropped it into me full mug of coffee. He went ballistic and the whole class erupted as it was one of those iPhone thingies and they're expensive. Meanwhile, I stood up, having reached the end of my highly frayed tether, gathered me belongings and marched out, head held high, never to return. It felt fucking fantastic. Until I emailed the principal to tell him I wasn't coming back. He replied within 5 minutes and said he could bring in a replacement teacher immediately, but I would be docked this month's pay and that Golden had his phone in a bag of rice in the airing cupboard right now. But if it didn't work properly when it dried out, his parents were going to sue me. I couldn't give a damn about Golden's parents or the horrible job that was destroying my soul or the fact I can't afford a tin of beans. But me mam might have a few opinions, so I'm avoiding her for now. Inca changes tack, crawls right up the bed and yowls directly into my face while shaking her tail. I spot a single overlooked cat treat on the bedside table and drop it into her mouth. It keeps her quiet for about 1.7 seconds. I doubt it'll be Sheila who's been calling. Because as soon as we found out that mystery pot was closing down, with no warning whatsoever, she got a job in another New Age shop as a tarot reader. Her reputation as a top-notch clairvoyant went before her. This meant a trek to the other side of London most days for her, so we've hardly been in touch compared with before. Plus, I've cut myself off from all the spooky stuff. Closed down the receiving tower, as it were, so there wouldn't be much to talk about. After what happened with Creepy Dan and all of the supernatural shenanigans, I couldn't handle any more talking with dead people. It was just too much. I started having lots of nightmares. I'm still having them, so much so that I even stopped talking to my dead friend Frank. I feel bad about that now because I miss